question.
There's some, as I understand it, still some difference of opinion as to how many extra dimensions beyond the four we're familiar with are required to make these theories work. I don't really have a good understanding of why any extra dimensions are required. I can accept that just as a statement, obviously, because it's not my area of expertise, but how easily can you explain it to me and I presume some other people here, why those extra dimensions are needed?
Yeah, so first of all, those extra dimensions are needed only in the context of string theory.
Yeah.
So, and actually it bothers me that I can't explain it better, but what I can say is that if you don't have those extra dimensions, the theory would make nonsensical predictions. Like, it would predict scatterings, that is to say, interactions that happen with negative probability. So you just end up with nonsense. Exactly. It's just nonsense.
So what would a scattering with negative...
What?
So a scattering with negative probability is... What's that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean anything, and it's just you shouldn't have a theory, that should allow that. It's nonsense.
It's just simply nonsense.
Yeah, so it would be simply nonsense. You really have to just eliminate it.
To make the maths work.
It's basically required to make both the math and the physics work. I mean, negative probability, you can do the math for that.
Yeah.
But it's really, that's just unphysical.
Which brings us
I should say, these extra dimensions could be so tiny that they're essentially not there, and they're irrelevant. They're not, we don't, at some scale, it's not clear we should be calling it a dimension. So when I say that there have to be these extra dimensions, I mean it in this generalized sense.
Sorry, Lisa, is there some suggestion for what these dimensions would be? We've got height, depth, and width. Height, width, and depth, and then time. Is there any suggestion, it may be crazy, it may be misdirected, but does anyone have ideas or theories as to what these other dimensions are?
Sure, I mean, that's basically the kind of thing we're thinking about. But we're not going to have a name for it because it's not something we experience, so it's not something you and I talk about a whole lot.
But you could name it yourself.
I did, I called it a passage. Okay. That's where my name came from, my title came from.
I would have gone for the Lisa dimension, but...
You can work that in if you want to.
So what did your paper say?
So I have several papers about extra dimensions, but what I dealt with was actually warped extra dimensions. So the idea is that Einstein's theory connects geometry with energy, and so we have particular objects from string theory that actually warped space-time in a very dramatic fashion, and it could actually warp space-time so much that you could actually have infinite extra dimensions that just go on forever that we wouldn't see. Before our work, people thought that extra dimensions had to be curled up to such a tiny size you wouldn't see them, whatever. But we found that you could also have dimensions that are warped so much that you don't see them. What's that?
Or don't sense them.
You don't, when I say see, I mean perceive in any way whatsoever, which is to say any detector you can make would never find them.
So how are we ever going to know that you're right?
Well, first of all, it's not strictly true that no detector we can make at the energies we can explore will. But actually, there was another theory that we worked on with the same warp geometry, and it involves an additional assumption. But if it's true that we live not quite where gravity is concentrated, and there are reasons to think we might not, we actually would explain why gravity is so weak relative to other forces. Now, gravity might not seem very weak, but it's actually because the entire Earth is acting on you. Gravity acting on it. If you had individual particles and asked about their gravitational interaction with each other, it would be completely negligible compared to their electromagnetic interaction, say, if they were charged. So basically, this is a real mystery in particle physics. And what we showed is that in warped space-time, by not being where gravity is highly concentrated, by being distant from that, you could actually explain this weakness. And if that theory is right, there will be evidence of extra dimensions in the next few years, and that evidence will have to do with extra heavy particles because they are particles that travel in the extra dimension, and those would be detectable. Question.
I'm not quite sure how you concentrate gravity.
Right. Yeah, I haven't explained it. But in the warp space-time, what happens is that if you think it, so there's several ways of saying it, but quantum mechanics tells us that there's a probability function, a wave function associated with each particle. So if you work out what there's the particle that mediates what looks like four-dimensional gravity, 3 + 1-dimensional gravity looks like, you find that in terms of the extra dimension, the fifth dimension of space-time, it's not just flat. It's actually exponentially falling. So it's highly concentrated. That is to say, the probability for the graviton to be in a particular region is much bigger than everywhere else. And that's what I mean by concentrated gravity. Another way of looking at it is that if you look at the gravitational field from an object in this region, you'd find that it spreads out evenly everywhere as we expect gravity, but in the other direction it's very distorted, so it doesn't spread out very far into the other dimensions.
When I try to explain to my partner particle physics, I can explain, you know, little bundles of energy or matter moving along, you can understand the traveling straight lines, things like that. There's an analogy there. When we talk about the fabric of space-time, you can talk about sort of stretched pieces of fabric with indentations. How do you visualize strings to a layperson?
First of all, I'm very pleased that you're discussing particle physics with your partner.
It's a sign of a healthy marriage.
It's kind of interesting. In writing the book, I actually covered a lot of material. So I covered particle physics and string theory and extra dimensions. And actually, it was the particle physics that was, I think, the hardest for people to understand. I mean, because string theory, I mean, it's not correct that it's the strings we see, but you can imagine not just oscillating strings, and you can imagine the modes of that string having to do with particles. You have to be very clear that it's not the strings we actually see, that it's actually what everything we see is made up of. But they are one-dimensional oscillating objects, and it's okay to picture them like that. I mean, I think the harder things to picture are the Higgs mechanism, or what gives mass to fundamental particles. Those parts of the book probably took me much longer to write than anything else, because you just can't picture them, and they're so hard for people to grasp, I think. So it's interesting that you thought that string theory was the harder thing to explain. I mean, obviously, if you explain the details of the math of string theory, then it gets harder. But just the basic idea, I think, it is kind of, you can picture it, and it's kind of physical.
So string theory in 30 seconds?
I already did string theory in 30 seconds. It was the theory that reconciled quantum mechanics and gravity. It really is particles are the oscillation modes of fundamental oscillating strings. And one reason string theory looks like it might be a little better behaved than particle physics is if you imagine interactions between string, they're not as aggressive in the sense that, you know, if you have strings interact, it's only a piece of the string that interacts at a time. So you might imagine that at very high energies where particle collisions become disastrous and they don't make sense anymore, if you have strings, you might imagine that the collisions are a bit softer and sort of like collide. If you threw together puffy balls, it would be a lot better than if you did BBs, which would just, if they hit each other, they would just interact very strongly. So strings, in some sense, have softer interactions, which is why they seem to be better as far as gravity is concerned at high energies when they interact with each other.